You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, everyone. Before we get started on today's stories, I need to give 2 warnings for the first 2 stories for sexual harassment. If you want to skip those stories, I'll have them linked down in the timestamps below. And if you have a story of your own that you'd like to share, you can send it at southerncannibal.com. I look forward to narrating your story. Now, if you're all ready, let's go ahead and get started. And remember to always stay hungry. I'm 22 now and a female. The incident I'm going to be writing about happened back in 2018 when I was 17. Also, English isn't my first language, so I apologize if the story isn't well framed. It was late June and I was on summer break straight out of high school and ready to join university in a few months. I was really focused on enjoying this time because high school and finals had really been stressful and hectic. In the last month of my summer break, I decided to visit my cousins. It was going to be a solo trip because my parents were both busy with work and my sister had her own stuff going on. Also, I live in the city and my cousins live in a small town. That's where my grandfather started his business in construction. My father wasn't big on the country life and had moved to the city. My uncle, though, decided to stay and assist my grandfather and eventually took over the business. He had 2 sons who were both around my age. One of them was in uni, and the other one had graduated and helped his father run the business. So yeah, keep that in mind. I reached my uncle's place, and I was then greeted with unconditional love from my aunt, whom I was very close to and hadn't seen in a while due to my studies. My younger brother Cal was home, and after settling my things in my room, I proceeded to have a very long conversation with him and my aunt. My uncle and elder brother, Ved, were at work. They returned at around 4 p.m. Ved and I talked for a while. That's when Cal then said, "So for today, I was thinking we could go to the country fair in the evening. You'll love the rides, stalls, and the food. Especially the food." Ved then interrupted and said, "I think she needs to get some rest from all the traveling. We can go to the fair next week." I must admit, I was tired. But I do really like fairs and food. Nothing beats the good country food. I told my brothers that I wanted to go and we could all have a fun time together, like the good old days. Boy, how wrong I was. Ved took out his pickup truck and we were on our way. The fair was beautiful. I ate a lot of food from different stalls, bought great jewelry, and went on some fun rides with my brothers. Later on, Cal had located some of his friends and wanted to go on the Ferris wheel. Ferris wheels make me dizzy, so I asked them to carry on without me while I looked at some jewelry for my mother. Ved then got a call from one of his employees from work, and he told me that it would take a minute and to stay nearby. I started looking at some bangles and bracelets, and that's when I noticed a man from a nearby food stall just looking at me. His face was expressionless, unnaturally pale and he was just blatantly staring at me. It made me very uncomfortable and nauseous. I tried to just ignore it and I looked away. That's when I felt my stomach hurting. I said to myself, yeah, I really shouldn't have eaten those fritters. I decided to go to the washroom. I entered one of the stalls to do my business. As I'm getting up, I hear someone walking in. No big deal. It is a washroom after all. I then hear footsteps, and they stop right in front of my stall. That is when I then start freaking out because I notice that this person is wearing the men's shoes. The man from before that was staring at me. The door was locked, but I felt sick and a pit developing in my stomach. I then yelled, who is it? I need to get out and you're standing right in front of my cubicle. The man then said,
oh, all the other stalls are dirty. That's why I'm standing here, waiting for you to get out so I can use the toilet.
His voice was rough and I could tell that he was a smoker. For some god-awful reason, I believe that he genuinely wanted to use the stall. I unlocked the door, and as soon as I opened it, I saw him. The same man from the fair, staring daggers at me with a disgusting grin on his face. I noticed that he was doing something with one of his hands. I looked down to see that he had his thing out, and he was rubbing it, so very aggressively at that. That sight was sickening, and it made me physically ill. I started running out of the stall. He then tried to grab me by my hair and my arm. He was a big man, and I knew I couldn't fight him, but what I could do was bite him. I bit his hand, and I bit it so hard that he screamed in pain and he let go of me. I ran and ran until I saw Ved, who was looking for me. The moment I saw him, I then stopped running and puked. I puked my guts out. My lip was bleeding from biting his arm. Ved called for Cal, and they both got me some tissues and water. They both looked very worried and concerned. I told them what happened, and both of my brothers were very furious. Cal had started looking for the man, while Ved had called the cops and my uncle. The police and my uncle then arrived. I explained the situation to some officers and described what the man looked like. He was around 6 foot tall, heavy looking, and he wore traditional beige color clothes. After the officers were done questioning us, they suggested that I should go back home. They could tell I was deeply shaken up and I looked unwell. My uncle stayed with the cops and my brothers and I returned. The entire ride back home, I was quiet and in shock. The memory of him rubbing it, pulling my hair, and then grabbing me by the arm just replayed in my head over and over, and it made my stomach totally turn. My brothers were infuriated. Cal kept on cursing about the man. Ved was driving, and I could tell that he was smoldering inside. I had asked Cal to hush because my head was spinning. The very first thing I did when we reached home was throw up again. Then I took a long shower, trying to get a hold of what happened, trying to process everything. And then I slept for 15 hours straight. When I later woke up, my aunt had hugged me and consoled me. My uncle let me know that the man had been found and arrested. I won't end this story with a cliche like the man had done this previously, or that he was a rapist or sex offender. He was actually a very ordinary man who had apparently sold groceries and fruits in the town. All I can say is that this can happen to anyone, anywhere. You must always be cautious and aware of your surroundings. The rest of my trip was wonderful, but I won't lie. This experience did dampen the mood a little, for at least a couple of days. My lip healed in a week.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm currently a 38-year-old man, but this was back in 2009 or so. I was about 24 years old. I had recently gotten an opportunity of a lifetime to be in what at the time was a pretty notorious metal band in Chicago, while I lived across the country. I was thinking of ways that I could afford to move closer to Chicago on my tight budget, but I didn't have many options. At the time, I had been playing an online game, and I had a female friend on there that I talked to regularly, and it just so happened that she lived near Chicago. We had joked about the idea of moving in together, as we'd known each other for about half a decade at that point, and we thought we'd be comfortable with it. Well, one day I got a frantic call from her. She was crying hysterically, saying that her mom had kicked her out of the home because she had found her weed pipe, and she said she needed to find a place to live immediately, and she asked if I would be willing to be roommates to make rent affordable. This was the first red flag for those who know, though at the time I was young and didn't. She actually found an apartment for only $125 a month, meaning about $63 a month for each of us. This seemed too good to be true, but I drove up to look at the place with her, and it was actually a pretty nice and well-maintained apartment. Apparently, it was just the area that was cheap as hell. We agreed to lease the apartment together, and we moved in together about a month later. This seemed like exactly what I was looking for to be close to my new band. Things were decent for the first week, until small red flags started popping up here and there. I was out for a walk one morning only a block away from the apartment, when I got pulled over by a police officer, and I was then forcibly cuffed and searched. I asked what was going on, and he explained the area was known for having multiple meth labs, and that I looked a little out of it. I told him that I'd literally just woken up 20 minutes ago, and this didn't feel normal. He sent me on my way without returning my driver's license, only to show up with my landlady 30 minutes later, who let him into my apartment without even knocking. I asked what the hell he thought he was doing, and he brushed it off, saying he was just returning my driver's license. What can you do? It's the cops. And the rumor was they were pretty much allowed by the system to run amok in that town. So I was forced to let it go. Several more incidents with the police happened, but they all went pretty similarly. Then there was my roommate. Let me start off about her and say that I didn't find her attractive at all. And looks aside, as long as I've known her, she's always been kind of one of the guys type of girl. I didn't think about her that way at all. Anyways, the red flag started popping the fuck off with her pretty quickly as well. During that time, my alcoholic drink of choice were 4 Locos, and that was back when they were good and before they neutered the recipe for them. I kept trying to find a store that sold them, but nobody in that town carried them, until I found one store with a limited supply. I pretty much said fuck it, and I bought all 3 cases that they had, thinking that I'd probably never see them again otherwise. I got home and I put them in the fridge. I cracked one open and then started drinking it while playing my online game for the evening. About 3 hours later, I went to grab another, only to find them missing. I was flabbergasted, knowing for a fact they were just there not long ago. Soon after, my roommate knocked on my door, barely able to keep herself standing up. I then said, "Wait, you didn't. Did you drink all of those?" She just simply said, "Oh, yeah, I couldn't help myself. They were so good." I looked at her like she was stupid for a good 2 minutes of silence before she then followed up with, "Hey, so we're a guy and a girl living together. You want to just like, you know, get it out of the way? I pretty much instantly knew what she meant by this, and I gave her a hard no. She stopped bracing herself against the wall, almost fell over, and then turned around with her back to me, doing this really awkward fake crying, then occasionally peeking over her shoulder like she was expecting me to comfort her. I was in complete disbelief, and I just simply closed the door on her. I went to bed later that night, but I had trouble falling asleep. Sometime into the night, I had saw my bedroom door open, and she walked in towards the edge of my bed and just stood there staring at me. I kind of just looked at her and asked if she needed something, but she just stayed quiet and stared at me for about 10 minutes before then jumping and saying, "Oh, you're awake," and then ran out of the room. Needless to say, I started locking my door at night, and I don't feel that I need to explain why. For additional context, I had major anxiety issues, and I was regularly prescribed Klonopin, which is like a stronger all-day version of Xanax. But I didn't like how it made me feel, so I rarely took it. She was the same way about her painkillers. But I really liked painkillers, and she really liked Klonopin, so we often traded. Well, one day during the second week, she came into my room and asked if she could get 10 Klonopins, and she said she'd give 10 Percocets when she got back from the pharmacy. I told her that was fine, and minutes later I heard her leave the apartment, only to return less than 10 minutes later. Thinking she was coming to give me what she had promised, I instead hear her run to her bedroom and then slam the door shut. I'm a patient man, so I didn't press her for them. An hour goes by, then another. Finally, I go check on her, and I asked her if she had gotten them. But I immediately noticed that she was shit-faced and almost falling out of her desk chair. She said, "Oh, yeah, I got them, but I took them." I paused for a moment just to process the realization of what she'd done. "You took all of them?" "Yeah," she said. "No way. You didn't take all 10 Klonopins as well, did you?" "Yeah, I did," she said. "Do I need to call you an ambulance?" I said. "Oh no, I do this all the time," she said. This was just way too much for my brain to process. So I simply noped out of her room and decided to just check on her periodically. You know, just to make sure I didn't end up with a dead body in my apartment. Sure enough, she was fine later. It was then that I realized the true extent of her drug problem. Or so I thought. I later found out that she was also smoking meth, finding a pipe in a bag sitting in the living room one day with her passed out on the floor. "Don't worry," I checked. "She had a pulse and was breathing." Mind you, this all happened within a week and a half, and I was already severely regretting my rushed decision to live with her. But then it got worse. She began hounding me for sex constantly. Each time me telling her a flat out no, and her doing the previous fake crying bit. Most likely while she was once again high out of her mind. This went on for a week, and it got to the point where she was even standing outside the bathroom door saying she didn't mind if we did it right after I pissed. Which is disgusting. She was even knocking on my now locked door, waking me up all hours of the night, literally begging me to have sex with her. Saying that I was the hottest guy she'd ever seen, and that we have to since we lived together. Every time I told her no, until one day when I got completely fed up with it. Feeling like this was never going to end and having nowhere else to go in this new town, I told her that if she was really that desperate, I'd let her go down on me just once, but that I wouldn't look at her and I wouldn't touch her. That I wouldn't interact with her in any way, shape, or form. And that afterwards, I never want to hear this shit again. Thinking that I put this in a way that would be an utterly degrading turnoff for any woman. Nope, she lit up like a Christmas tree, and then said, "You know I will." So she did. I'm really not proud of admitting this, but she did. She crawled under my desk while I played my online game, and I kept my promise. I didn't look at her, I didn't touch her. I didn't interact with her in any way. She literally went at it for 3 hours before giving up and crying, then saying, "I want to stop." You're not even kissing me, and you're not even hard. Thinking she finally got the picture, I just said, okay, no problem. And I watched her leave my room, once again locking my door. I thought this was the win that I wanted, and that was the end of it. But I was wrong. She continued to hound me about it, begging for another chance. But I just kept telling her no, and I told you I don't ever want to hear this shit from you again. Which caused her to repeatedly cry hysterically about it and just continue begging. She kept pounding on my door at all hours of the night, standing in the hallway blocking me from going anywhere during the day, attempting to corner me in the bathroom every time I had to use it. You name it. It was nonstop, and at week 4, I finally had enough. Between the police, the roommate, and the rampant meth problem in town causing the place to look like the land of the walking dead, the fact that there wasn't even anywhere to meet people there, and the fact that there weren't any jobs in the town that I could find, I just gave up. I ended up breaking down and calling my mom, telling her what was going on, and I asked her if she could please Western Union me some money to get a U-Haul to come back home and get away from this situation. She agreed that I needed to get out of there, and she did as I asked. I wasted no time. I went straight to the U-Haul depot and rented one to pick up the very next day. When I got back to the apartment, I had told my roommate point blank that I was leaving first thing in the morning. She completely shut down and ran crying to her room, and then shut herself in. But you know what? Not my problem anymore. I went to Walmart to pick up boxes and packing supplies, and then came home. I didn't see my roommate, so I saw it as my golden opportunity to beeline to my room and lock the door before she could come at me with any of her bullshit. Once in my room safely, I immediately noticed that for some reason my computer is on, and that all of my instant messages are open in dozens of different windows. I had a gut feeling that she'd been going through them, which was incredibly invasive and creepy. But you know what? Not my problem anymore. I throw the bags of items that I bought at the store onto my bed, and got ready to immediately start packing, only to see my blankets moving and my roommate's head pop out of the covers. I then jumped and yelled, "What the fuck are you doing in my bed?" She looked wasted as usual, and then she just said, "It's your last night here. We have to have sex." Once again, and hopefully the final time, I told her, "No, you need to get the hell out of my room. What I need to do is sleep. I have a long drive and a lot of packing to do." She wasn't taking no for an answer this time, though. She then said, "I'm not leaving until you at least cuddle with me." I was at a loss as to what to do, short of calling the police, knowing full well that would probably end badly for me as well. You know, considering the track record I had with them up until that point. With no other options, I told her, "Fine, I'm going to lay there, and that's it. I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to interact with you in any way. You have 5 minutes, and then you have to get the hell out of my room." She didn't say a word. She just gave me this creepy grin and then stretched her arms out to me. I was gonna be sick, but I laid down beside her, kept my hands at my sides, and I didn't move. She immediately began dry humping me and trying to climb on top of me, and I had to push her off of me each time. She then giggled and said, "I thought you weren't going to interact with me." What a fucking creepy thing to view as a win for her. I told her the 5 minutes was up and that she had to leave. She didn't move. I then repeated, "Okay, you have to leave now." She didn't move. She instead clung to me and refused to leave. Just as I was about to get up and exit the situation, she then hit me with the coup de grace of the whole situation, then saying, "I want a baby." My blood ran cold and I forcefully shoved her away from me, telling her, not only no, but fuck no," which caused her to burst out crying and then say, "You don't even need to touch me. I just need your sperm." I learned that I had the power of flight in that very moment, launching myself from my bed clear across the room in one bound. I lost it, yelling, "This is so fucked up. You need to leave, and you need to leave now." She didn't move, and again I repeated, "I said you need to leave and go back to your own room. I mean it." But she still didn't move. So once again, I shouted,
Get out of my fucking bed!
She instead rolled over and started crying, and I had no choice but to admit defeat. I was sleeping on the couch that night, but about 30 seconds into it, I then realized that I didn't feel safe there either. So I left the apartment completely, and I decided I was sleeping in my truck. And by the grace of God, hopefully she would be out of my bed by morning so I could pack and get the hell out of Dodge. Sleeping in my truck was tough, especially being so freaked out. I went back in to check if she was still there about every couple of hours, and sure enough, she stayed in my bed well into the AM until about 5 in the morning. Having barely slept, I took what opportunity I could get, locked my door, and started packing. I was in such a rush that I ended up leaving a lot of my stuff there, but I got the U-Haul as soon as the place opened for the day, loaded everything in by myself, and the only thing left was my trash can, which I saved for last so I could throw the contents into the dumpster before loading it in. I went into the apartment to grab it, thankful that I had seemingly done all the packing before she woke up and then had another chance to harass me further, only to walk in and find her picking through my trash, stuffing my used tissues into her pockets before seeing me and then quickly running back into her room and locking the door. Now, I'll be totally honest, I was a 24-year-old man and single. Let's be real, porn happened. And once I processed what I saw, I just froze. No, she couldn't be. She wouldn't. There's no way on earth she could be doing what I thought she was about to do with my dirty trash tissues. I stood there completely stunned before I could even handle the thought anymore, and I immediately ran to the bathroom to puke my soul out, wasting not another millisecond getting the fuck out of there. I hopped into my truck and turned the volume to obnoxiously loud metal music all the way up and began chain smoking. I didn't even want to think about what she was doing. I didn't want to think at all at that point. I just did a whole new level of noping out and getting the fuck out of there, only stopping when I absolutely had to for gas until I got back clear across the country. Thankfully, I never heard from her ever again. I don't think I'd be able to even handle one more interaction with her. I just want to forget it all ever happened. I was completely creeped out and mortified. So why am I telling this story then? Folks, there are a number of things to take away from this story. Don't ignore red flags. Know who you involve yourself with in a living situation before ever living with them. Know that there's always at least one way out if things get really bad. And don't ever, ever, for any reason, think that things can't get worse. I found out the hard way that the dial can be turned way past 11. Take what you will from this story. And please, please be careful out there.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
My name is Haley, and I was searching for some sort of flat to move into right after I graduated university. I was 22 at the time, and I was struggling to find something. I was living in university accommodation, but once I graduated, I had to be out. I didn't want to move back to my hometown. I felt like I had unfinished business where I was, and I wanted to get a job here for a while. I decided to check Facebook groups. And like I said, it was really difficult to find anything. I knew I'd need to have roommates, but I didn't feel great about my options. There were lots of groups of guys wanting another roommate, and as a female, I just thought, hell no. I ended up desperate though as graduation approached, and I found an older man who was seeking a roommate. He claimed to have moved to this area after a divorce from abroad, but that he was originally from up north in England. Now, for anyone unaware, Northerners here tend to bond together, at least in my personal experience. I was living down south, but I felt like him being a Northerner made him feel a little more trustworthy. I know it sounds strange, but also remember, I was really desperate at this point. Now I was 22, and this was literally last year. This guy stated in his post that he was 40 and that he had a spare room for someone, but that he'd prefer someone who wasn't going to trash his house partying. He stated that he wanted to meet all potential candidates, and he also said that he wanted no funny business. I thought it was worth a shot because I was becoming dangerously close to having nowhere to go but back home, and I thought he seemed like a chill older guy, and I figured we would stay out of each other's way if I was chosen. As I write this out, I can see how sketchy that it all sounds, but it really didn't seem so bad as it was happening. Anyway, I messaged him and he seemed harmless. He said to give him a few weeks and he'd get back to me. I thought that this probably meant that he didn't want someone my age, so I just accepted defeat but said okay. However, he did end up messaging me back only a week later, asking if I'd like to meet up at his house to do a tour. I said yes, and we arranged a date and time. When we met, the man was standing outside the house and greeted me. I went alone because I wanted to be a grown-up and not rely on others. I told people where I was and they had the address. They knew that if I didn't check in to come to the house and call the police. The man had told me that we'd both pay rent, but as we stepped inside, he told me that he actually had a mortgage but wanted a roommate, so would actually rather the roommate just pay for their own food and such. It felt weird that he lied about things, but honestly, that would work out cheaper for me. And as he explained how it would be good for me to not waste my money on rent paying someone else's bills for them, the more that I found myself agreeing with him. I mean, he definitely had a point. He then showed me the downstairs. It was a big house. Living room, downstairs bathroom, kitchen. The dining room was attached to the living room, and there was a games room. I remember thinking, wow, I've hit the jackpot here. He told me there were two bedrooms, but when he went to show me the upstairs, I then suddenly didn't want to go up there. I don't know. I guess I just felt a bit vulnerable entering a bedroom with him on my own. I said this and he sort of laughed at me. He said it was fine because my room wasn't up there anyway. Well, if my bedroom wasn't up there, then where was it? And why go to show me up there? This is where it gets really strange. He told me that my room was in a basement, enterable from the outside. Now, in England, basements aren't very common. Most houses, I'd say, don't really have them for various reasons. He went on to explain that he had it converted to get a bed in there. This sounded odd to me. Doesn't that sort of thing take up a lot of time? This man was a divorcee just back from abroad barely 6 months ago. It just seemed pretty random that he would have had this done in such a short space of time. But what did I know? My degree is in politics, not architecture. Anyways, he led me outside and round to the side. I hadn't noticed it before, but there were some steps leading down to the basement. He opened the door and then gestured for me to go inside. I approached the door, but I felt really uncomfortable for some reason. I don't know why exactly. I could see it was really dark inside, and it was a bit chilly feeling. I asked him if there was a light, and he said,
"Yeah, just go inside and hit the wall."
That was a weird way to phrase it, I thought. I backed up a little, and I said it looked good to me. I tried to start walking up the stairs backwards, holding the crusty black railing, but the man then told me,
"You haven't even been inside yet."
I kept walking backwards and then said something about not needing to look right in, that I could see that it was fine. I then said that I felt too cold, and that I didn't need to go right inside the room. The man watched me as I walked up the steps, and then when I reached the top, he grinned at me, flashing all of his teeth.
"Sure, sure,"
was all that he said, in an eerily calm kind of way. It was just creepy. He closed the door and locked it, and then made his way up the steps as well. I walked far away to create distance, and he asked if I wanted to come into the house to talk some more. I said no and that I better get going, but that I loved the house and I was really looking forward to hearing from him again. He grinned at me, and he held out his hand for me to shake it. I shook it nervously, scared that he'd do something, but he never did. I walked off, but just before I was out of sight, something had told me to turn around, and I noticed that he was watching me as I walked away. I felt chills, and as soon as I got home, I blocked him on Facebook. I now see just how reckless I was going to this guy's house, for even considering him in the first place. But you live and you learn. I didn't move there, but I did find somewhere to go. I ended up moving in with two guys and a girl. It lasted a year, and then I needed to find something else. Well, I haven't been able to, so it looks like I'm moving back to my hometown. Then I'll just have to figure out what I'm doing when I get back there. I'll just have to live with my family until I figure out what I'm doing.
Hey everyone, that's about it for today's stories. If you have your own story that you would like to send, you can send it in at southerncannibal.com, or you can email it at southerncannibalstories@gmail.com. I look forward to telling your story. Have a good night or good day, everyone. And remember to always stay.